I was reading something the other day, a pastor that's been a pastor for a long time, and I've been doing this for over 30 years too. And so this Sunday between Christmas and New Year's is kind of one of those weeks where it's like, well, what do we talk about today? Because you've come through the Christmas series, you don't want to start a new series because lots of people are still away, and so on. So I'm gonna take the approach that we're entering into a new year. How many of you have businesses or have been in business? You know, kind of you come to the end of this time of the year and you do a couple of things. First of all, you take stock of what you have if you're selling things or whatever. And you look back over the past year and say, what kind of a year was it for farmers? I grew up farming, was a farmer for a long time, and you look back and you think, well, that didn't do very well, and we had this and that, and what are we going to seed next year, and all of them. So you look back, take stock of what was and what has happened through the year. Some of it's good, some of it's not good. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us have, you know, maybe had business setbacks. Some of us maybe have had big changes in our lives in one way or another. For me, this year was way busier than I ever thought. When I said I was going to retire, I told people, I'm not retiring, I'm refocusing. The problem was I didn't realize just how refocused I was going to get. So that's all right. It's been good, but it's been different than what I anticipated in some ways, and that's all right too. So we look back and we take stock of where things are in our personal lives. But sometimes I think we don't stop to take stock of our spiritual life. We look back at our physical health and all of that, and our financial health and those kinds of things. But what about our spiritual health? Do we take time to reflect on what has God spoken to me about this year? What are the things in the way that I've seen him work in my life or in the lives of people around me or in my church or in my community? Where's God been leading me and directing me and those kinds of things? And then as we look forward into the new year, then we begin to think about, well, what should I be trying to achieve in this next year in our business or our personal health or personal life? And that's where we get into this whole thing of, you know, New Year's resolutions. How many of you like to do New Year's resolutions? You know, I used to do them sometimes. And then usually about the 6th of January, it's like, oops, that one's done. Time to look at something else. So I'm going to suggest something different here. But I did, you know, I did kind of come up with a solution. I used to always think, well, I want to lose 10 pounds, you know, standard or whatever. And I want to do this and I want to do that. And then eventually I just got to, well, I just don't want to gain more than 4% next year. And then it's a little easier to keep, not always, but, you know. But instead of actually setting hard goals, and some of you are wired that way that you maybe need to do that, and that's okay. But what if you think about, I want to trend in this direction. I want to try to do this better than I've been doing, and so on. And I think that God knows what we're like, and he knows that we're not perfect, and he knows that in our spiritual lives, we're going to have some ups and downs. We're not always going to be consistently moving towards holiness and righteousness and all of those kinds of things. That there'll be some slips and slides along the way, just like in our regular life. And this isn't to say that we shouldn't, you know, set goals, if you like, or directions for our physical life or our financial life or all of that kind of thing. I think all of those things are important. The Bible does talk about the fact that, you know, we are whole beings and God cares about every aspect of our life. In fact, the passage that I'm going to use to kick this off is where Jesus was asked one time, what was the greatest commandment? And what did Jesus say? This is what he says in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and some translations add, and all your strength, or all your physical being. And that's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and in that passage, it definitely talks about with all your strength. Our beings are all interconnected, our physical life, our mental life, our social life, our spiritual life. And God longs for us to love him with all of those things. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love the Lord your God, or love your neighbor, pardon me, as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus says, if we do these two things, if we love God with all that we are and all that we have, and we love the people around us in the same way, we won't break the law and the commandments and the prophets, because that's what they all hinge on. So I want to start there this morning. And I have three things that I think we can look at as we enter in the new year in terms of our spiritual life. And the first one is this. I think we need to focus on God's love for us. You see, sometimes I think, and I really was happy with that song that you sang this morning that talked about the fact that God loves us so much that he sent his only son into the world for us. If we don't get that right, we can't do the other things. We can't love God and we can't love other people if we don't come to the settlement of the fact that God loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus while we were yet sinners, Paul wrote to the Romans. God demonstrated his love to us in that he sent his son into the world to redeem the world. Sometimes I think we think that God only loves us when we're doing good things or we're being good or we're, you know, all of those things. But no, God loves us where we're at. He loved us before we ever loved him. And you know, I don't know about you, but to me, that's an important thing. And sometimes it's easy for us to think, well, God can't possibly love me after what I've just done. Or, you know, I don't always do the things that I want to do. Well, that means you're in kind of good company, because the Apostle Paul kind of wrote about that. He says, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't always do. But the things that I don't want to do, sometimes I do them. Does God not love us when we fall and slip? No, he loves us. And he reminds us that if we sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He loves us. He loves you. He loves everything about you. And he wants to remind you that you are his child. John wrote, whoever received the Son, God has given the right to be called the children of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and all that is ours. His love for us knows no end. And Paul also, writing to the Romans, tells all of us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not death, not the demons, not anything that's going on around us in this world can separate us from God's love. Get that settled in your heart. Know that you are loved by the God who made you simply because he made you. He loved you before you ever even knew about him. He loved you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And he loves you now. And he will love you always. And then for those of us who have come to that place of receiving that love and that gift that came through Jesus Christ, he longs for us to love him back. He longs for everyone to love him back. And if you're here this morning and you have not yet received that gift, I would encourage you to receive it, because he longs for you to have it. He longs for you to have new and eternal life that can come only through Jesus. And once we've come to that place, then God's call for us, and what Jesus said to us in this is about the commandments, is that we are to love God with all our being. So the second thing that we can do, not only do we focus on God's love for us, but throughout the year, and especially maybe at this time as we begin to enter a year, reflect on how are you doing at loving God back? We know he loves us. How are we doing at loving him back? You say, well, I don't know. How do I tell? Well, I want to suggest a few things this morning. How do we know if we're loving God back? This is not so much scientific as it is an art, and it's not even so much scriptural, although there are many scriptures that talk about these things. First of all, how do we spend our time in our days? You know, when God was giving these commandments to the Israelites, the very first one is, I'm God. Don't have anybody else as God before me. Don't worship idols. Don't have idols before me. And one of the ways that we can tell, have we got idols in our life, is to check our calendar, or for most of us nowadays, it's to check our phone. What are our priorities in our life? Where do we spend the bulk of our time? What do we focus on more and more? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, necessarily we need to be in church all the time or we need to do this, but looking at what we prioritize in our life gives us a little bit of an idea. Am I loving God as much as I should? Do I spend time with him? For those of you who are married, or those of you who are in the dating stage of life, or going to want to date or get married or whatever, you know, I think back to when Stacy and I were young, and we were pretty young because we got married young. So when you begin, you know, a relationship with someone, you want to learn everything you can about that person. And you spend lots of time talking, and you know, even though you're dead tired at night, you get that phone call, and you stay awake somehow. Do we do the same with God? Do we want to know all that we can about him? He's given us this privilege of communicating with him, talking to him, prayer. Prayer is talking to God, but it's more than talking to God. It also involves listening to God. He's given us his word, in which he reveals himself fully to us, especially through his son Jesus. And as we enter a relationship with him, do we want to spend time with him, communicating with him, telling him that we love him, telling him that we appreciate his love for us, and wanting to reflect that back to him and to others? So one of the ways we can measure that to some degree is, how much time do I devote to knowing God and learning about God and talking to God and listening to God? Now, I'm not saying we need to, you know, say, I'm going to spend an hour every morning or every whatever. That's good. I'm not, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to pile stuff on you. Our associate pastor, when we were up in Westlock, he gave a sermon one time, and he says, I don't want this to be a morons, you know, message of how to get to know God. Not moron in the sense of how we might use it, but you could use it that way, but adding more on to what we're already doing. Most of us don't need to add more on. We just need to adjust and think about what we're doing intentionally. And maybe we do need to say, God, I do want to spend more time with you. Help me, show me how to do that. Help me to think about you more during my day. Help me to move in that direction where I'm hearing your voice more consistently and able to respond to it more fully. You see, God's desire is that we be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that we evermore would reflect his Son Jesus, that we would be filled with his Spirit, that we would demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all of those things would become more and more evident in our life as we get to know him more and as we allow his Spirit to guide and direct and change us. How you choose to do that, I'm not going to say this is a five-step, but God has given us his word, and he's given us the privilege of talking to him. He's given us the privilege in this country of coming freely together to worship, to sing, to learn together, to encourage one another, all the one another's of Scripture, and we'll get to that a little bit more in my next step. So that's one of the ways. How much time am I spending with God? How much time am I spending with God's people? How am I receiving the love that God wants to meet? Me to have and responding back in love to him. The second way we can determine that, the first one is looking at your calendar or day timer. Second one is looking at your bank account. God, am I honoring you with the wealth that you've given to me? Am I using it for your glory? Am I stewarding well what you've entrusted to me? You know, money is one of those things that, he's given that message. Well, you know what? Jesus talked about money an awful lot. God talked about money an awful lot. And in the prophets, he chastised the nation of Israel several times for stealing from him. And they said, oh, how are we stealing from you? By not giving me your best. By giving me the leftovers. By withholding your tithes and offerings. God desires that we honor him with all that he has given to us. That's not just our money. It's also our time, the gifts he's given to us, spiritual gifts, and the talents that he's given to us, and the place where he has placed us to use to honor him and to show love back to him. I've had lots of people say that, you know, well, I just can't afford to give to God right now, but someday. And I say, you know what? It kind of works the other way around, in a sense. When we honor God with what he's given to us, he'll bless you. In fact, that's the only challenge God gives to us in Malachi. Go ahead and test me. See if you can outgive me, he says. Go ahead. I bet you can't. it's a way that we can measure. God, am I trusting you? Am I honoring you with all that you've given to me? I want to love you mightily. I want to love you fully. Third way, thing that we need to think about as we come to the end of a year and look into another one, is to evaluate how we're doing at loving those around us. How have I done this past year at loving people around me? Loving others in the body of Christ, but loving others in our community who are yet far from Christ, perhaps. We're called to love everyone, just as God loves everyone. And in this regard, we're told a few things in Scripture. We're told to make sure that we are loving one another. And one of the books in the Bible that some people don't really like is the book of James, because James kind of lays it on the line and says, here's the things you need to do to tell if you're doing these things. Martin Luther, in fact, didn't like this book at all. He wanted it out of the Bible because it's too much on works and not enough on faith, but that's not the case. James says, it is about faith. But I'll tell you, you can say, I'll show you I have faith. Well, great, so do the demons. They believe that God is one, but show me your faith by what you do. Show me your faith by believing and acting out what God has given to you, using what he has entrusted to you. James says this, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds or no works?" By the way, Paul wrote in Ephesians, we often quote, "It is by grace that you have been saved by faith, not as a result of works, so that no one should boast," and we kind of quit there. But the next verse says, "So that we can do the good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to do." Right? Anyways, James says this, "Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, if one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." When I read those verses, I'm sometimes somewhat convicted. Because too often, I've come across people that I could help or that need help, and rather than taking the time and the effort to help them, it's like, "Go, be safe and be well. I'll pray for you." That's almost worse than not doing anything. Because sometimes that "I'll pray for you" gets peeked right out the window. It would be great if we did pray for them. We should pray for them, but we should also help them if we can help them. And Jesus says many times in the scripture that, you know, if you have ability to help someone, to help them. Scriptures tell us time and time again to do that. John, in 1 John, talks a lot about the love of God and us loving God, but also loving others. And he says, how can we claim to love God whom we cannot see if we don't love our brothers and sisters who are right here with us? In other words, if we claim that we love God, We must love others and must show our love to them in practical ways, in meaningful ways. And one of those ways involves telling people about the good news, showing them by the love of Christ that there is a God who loves them and wants them to be his child, wants them to come to that place of redemption, of being saved, of receiving the gift of eternal life. And so again, as you think about this in your own life, think about how have you done this past year at loving people around you. What are some of the ways that you've shown love to others? What are some ways that people have shown love to you? I don't know how many of you have ever read the book, The Five Love Languages. But you know, we have ways in which we best receive love from other people, and we have ways in which then we often want to show love to other people. And for me, my love language is serving or being served. And so, you know, when my wife makes something nice for me or does something nice, that's for me, that's often how I will try to show love to other people, because that speaks to my heart. But sometimes we need to recognize that, you know, that person has a different love language. You know, some need a hug. Juliana's a hugger. That's good. You know, we encourage one another. And this is where all the one another's of Scripture come into play. Serve one another. Love one another in humility. Encourage one another, mourn with one another, weep with one another, rejoice with one another. All of these things are ways in which we show the love of the body of Christ. And so as you think about the new year, I invite you to invite God in your daily lives to say, "God, first of all, recognize and realize that you love me. Help me to see that every day. Help me to see ways in which you're showing me your love each day. And here's my disclaimer on all of this. This gets back to the, you know, the New Year's resolutions, because as soon as you don't do that one day, then you're going to say, oh, I've blown it already. And no, just pick up, you know, pull up your socks the next day and say, God, I missed that yesterday, but help me today to see your hand at work in the world around me. Help me to experience your love in new and meaningful ways. Help me to see how you're loving the world around me. Help me, God, to reflect that love to those around me. Help me to reflect it back to you. Help me to love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my strength, with everything you've entrusted to me. Help me to be creative today in loving you and putting you first in my life, not allowing anything else to come between me and you that would keep me from loving you more than anything else. Help me to remove those things, to take my eyes off the things of this world. We're told in scriptures to you know, not to love this world, but to love the Lord our God and to have our heart set on heaven. In fact, Jesus said, where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be also. Where's our treasure? Is it where it should be? Help us, God, to make sure that we treasure nothing more than we treasure our relationship with you. And then ask him in your days, and this is where it gets tricky. God, help me to see as you see the people around me. Help me to see those whom I can help. Help me to see those, you know, there's a song I have this is one of those things I, you know, true confessions. I like to walk on the treadmill, but I don't do it nearly as often as I should or would like to, or, you know, have planned to. But I have a playlist of songs that I play, and one of them is a song by Zach Williams, who's a country singer but also a Christian, and in that song it's, you know, make me a little less like me and a little more like Jesus. And, you know, help me to see. Sometimes there's a hand I could have held. Sometimes there's a beggar I could have fed. Sometimes there's this. God, help me to be a little less like me and a little more like Jesus today. And if we commit to doing that, all the other things, I think, we'll figure out how it is that we can spend that time with God. For some of us, it's the morning. I'm a morning person, so, you know, and I know my wife is not a morning person necessarily. She's more now when she always had to work and stuff, but for her, nighttime is when she would shine. And so, you know, when these people would say, you got to get up at 5 o'clock and spend an hour with God, you know, it's just like, ugh. There's no right way. God just wants us to want him and to allow him to speak to us how he's wired us. And each of us is wired differently. God is infinitely creative, and he has made us in marvelously different ways. And he wants us to learn our love language to respond to his love for us. And he isn't limited by any of those things. So my encouragement to us this morning is, let's try and move in the right direction of experiencing God's love, acknowledging it more, recognizing it in the things that happen around us. He's at work always in our world and in our lives. The question is, will we see it? Will we perceive it? Isaiah says, you know, God's doing a new thing always. The question is, will we perceive it and will we receive it? And so let's be open to that. And then let's ask him to help us love him more in our own lives and with what he's given to us. And in doing that, as we love him, we will naturally love those around us, or at least that should be an outflow of his love in our lives. His Spirit is at work. Let's let it work and keep in step with his Spirit in our life so that we can be a blessing to those around us. And I saw this closing song, and really, we have been blessed to be a blessing. There's no other way to put it. And what God has done for us, we should want to see in everybody else's lives as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are at work in our lives always. We thank you that you loved us so much that you were willing to send your son Jesus into this world. And Jesus, we still marvel that you were willing to come on our behalf, that you would lay down your life in order that we might have new and eternal life and the freedom from the power and penalty of sin. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for the fact that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Regardless of what our circumstances might be, nothing can separate us from your love. Help us to respond in genuine love to you for all that you have done for us and who you are. And may we love this world in which we live. May we show them that there is a God who loves them and longs to be in relationship with them too. And may people see in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, and be drawn to him through us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.